Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, this is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible. I am Paul Funchess, pastor of Family Ministries, and I'm here at my house with my lovely wife, Christy. Christy, good to see you.
Good to see you.
This evening.
Haven't actually seen you that much today.
How's your day been? Honestly, how's your day been?
Oh, today was a day. It was okay. Actually, parts of it were sweet. It was rainy today and the kids played games a lot and stuff.
Yeah.
I was kind of maybe not at top speed.
Yeah. I went out running errands today. And drove all over the city, Spokane, running some errands, and was able to take Hopi with me today, my oldest, who is 12, and asked if she could go with me, and that was really, really sweet.
Yeah, that was super sweet.
Yeah, but we were out pretty much all day, did some grocery shopping, so that was good, and we now have groceries, and a lot poorer than we were before, it seems. This is nighttime. We have put our kids in bed, and so it is pretty late, and we had not done a podcast today, so we were like, well, you want to try to do this after we put the kids to bed, and my wife lovingly said, yes,
let's
do it. Well, you did. You were agreed. So, we've been doing this format where we ask each other questions and not allow each other to see what we ask before we ask the questions, kind of just a conversation that we're having. And I've given it parameters tonight around the idea of expectations. Dun, dun, dun.
It's
expectations.
A tough one.
So in my experience and just in life, there's nothing that creates more difficulty in marriage, parenting, life than expectations, setting the wrong expectations or holding good expectations but sinfully or with the wrong heart, attitude. And so expectations, I think for us, has been a very big issue. And I probably think for most people.
Oh yeah.
This is where they're at. And I'll just take the opportunity to say, you know, why do we do these podcasts? Why do we do what we're doing? Well, our desire is that we would be a church that is learning Christ together and helping others learn Christ together. We want to be a discipling church, and that's what discipleship is all about. We want to learn Christ and help others learn Christ. My desire for anybody listening to this, you know, it starts with my wife looking at me across the table. My desire for her is that she would know Jesus, that she would learn Jesus and grow in Christ's likeness in her love and character. And that would be my desire for anyone listening, is that you grow in Christ's likeness and that you would be equipped to help others grow in Christ's likeness. Ephesians 4, that's what we're doing. We're going towards Christ and maturing together into the image of Christ and building one another up in love. And so we want to be transparent. We want to be open and honest. And the hope is that you see, you know, your pastors and your elders, we're real people. And we want to grow in Christ still and continue growing in Christ. And we want you to grow in Christ and help others grow in Christ. So that's the hope and that's the desire. And we're going to talk about expectations tonight and how they can become a problem. But I don't know what she's going to ask me, and she doesn't know what I'm going to ask her. And so who gets to go first? That's the question. I'll go first.
Okay.
You want me to ask you a question first?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So what has been the most frustrated expectation in our marriage? And then you can ask part B in parenting.
Oh, okay.
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 Maybe that's too...
They're probably going to be super different. So you'll just have to help me remember.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's
the most frustrated expectation in marriage.
So honestly, I think that going into marriage and, you know, just thinking through the different categories that you would have as life together, I just expected that we would talk about things like if we needed to come up with a plan for finances or for, oh goodness, who knows what else, you know, trips or whatever, like that, you know, we would sit down and talk about it, you know, his ideas, her ideas, and kind of come to a, you know, a plan. And so I think, at the beginning, you know, it was just a struggle to communicate. There wasn't a whole lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of very frustrated by that. And then sort of like, oh, well, now I don't know what to do. I mean, if we're not going to talk about stuff, then. So, I mean, that's.
So a lack of communication on.
Yeah. So the expectation was just that there would be communication and, you know, coming together and probably also pie in the sky, like, oh, well, of course we'll agree on stuff or, you know, we like each other and we'll probably just think the same things and it'll be easy. And
so that's not a bad expectation. That's a good expectation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how can that, or how did that become really a problem for you? Not that I also didn't have an issue, especially early on in marriage is what we're talking about, but how did that become a problem for you?
Yeah. So for me, it would be just internalizing the frustration and not having the communication skills to just say, hey, this frustrates me. Can we do X, Y, Z?
Yeah. What would have happened if you would have told me first year of marriage that you were frustrated with me? What would have happened?
Yeah, that would have been, you would have been upset. And
I shut down that communication. It wasn't, I wasn't really open for communication.
So I just, you know, but I still think I responded sinfully and just being frustrated, being angry, you know, clamming up and then, just not really seeing a way forward.
So what would you say to somebody who's kind of either that similar expectation or any kind of expectation that's being frustrated? How have you learned to, and again, this is impromptu. She doesn't know what I'm asking her. I'm kind of just fleshing this out, but what would you say to someone? How have you learned to hold a good expectation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not wrong to want your husband to communicate, but it is unhealthy to internalize and become frustrated and bitter. And so how did you learn to?
So kind of just being honest and talking about things. It's been really important to me to learn when I come to you to talk about things, to not view you as an adversary or not to assume that you are viewing me as an adversary, but to think that we are together and I know we want to be together. We want to be unified. So how would I come to, you know, a friend? How would I come to someone who I know is on my team? You know, maybe with difficult things or with whatever it is. And a lot of times I have to just pray through that the Lord would help me, first of all, to actually have that spirit. You know, so then there can be the issue, you know, well, what if you know it's not going to be well received? You try anyways, and it still isn't. I mean, that's something that at that point, you would have to ask probably someone else in your life, you know, for help, or, you know, I'm trying to communicate about this. It's not going well. But yeah, for me, you know, in a healthy way, I would say, realizing you're on the same team, realizing that kind of your relationship trumps whatever issue is at stake, and that will be more important to you than maybe getting what you want. And kind of having that set in your heart beforehand.
So would you say that seeing each other on the same team, obviously I'm not going to expect it, or I'm not going to assume that everyone listening to this can have that.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking particularly of wives who, you know, are dealing with husbands that it doesn't feel like they're on the same team and they don't have that confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could ask, what would you say to them? What would you, how would you comfort them? How would you, as a woman, how would you encourage them?
Well, if you have to see yourself. Table, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's legitimate. And I think we've had those conversations,
with people.
Yeah. So
sure.
You are first and foremost in Christ, and he is your all. He is your everything. So your identity is set in him. You can be confident of your place in him. Mm-hmm. And that really does, you know, what is true about you for eternity is much more than what may be true about these momentary circumstances, even though they're exceedingly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seems like you're stuck in them. That's something that, you know, mentally you just have to remind yourself of over and over. I do still think there's a burden of communication, even for someone that you might not be on the same page with. And I do think that there is a way when your hope is set in God. I love 1 Peter 3, thinking about holy women who hope in God, and that their conversation, their manner of life, could still be a testimony to that husband. That doesn't mean, hey, you're going to be able to do it in such a way to get what you want, or maybe to change him right away.
Yeah.
But as you are trying to communicate from a standpoint of trust in God, I do think that that can change.
Absolutely. The Word of God promises that it can.
It really does.
It says it can.
It does.
And so holding to that text, and I'm thinking of specific types of issues and just, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, say there's someone who really believes a type of schooling is extremely important for their children to have, and the spouse doesn't want to engage, and they can't make the decision without the spouse engaging, and feels like, you know, he's dragging his feet. He doesn't care. He doesn't, you know, understand how important this is. He's kind of brushing it off, whatever. And I mean, that it's a theoretical, but I know those kind of conversations happen. We've been in those types of situations with people. I think what you said was really good about the issue not becoming bigger than, even if you have this belief that, hey, this is what my kids need, or, hey, this is what our finances ought to look like, or, you know, hey, this is what family worship ought to look like. And he needs to fill in the blank, not allowing that issue to become, really a poison, and become bigger than it needs to. The relationship and ultimately your relationship with Christ, your relationship to Christ, that's set if you're in Christ. And he will not fail in expectations. He has met all of the expectations that he has given, and you can count on him, on Christ, And really finding your identity there gives you the ground and the basis then to let some of these issues that you really are passionate about wait mm-hmm. or rest in his care, rest in his sovereign plan. And
right.
care.
God is sovereign over all of that. He won't put you in a place where you cannot love him and love your neighbor.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's okay to be passionate about things. It's okay to have opinions. It's okay to converse and all that stuff. But ultimately, those are not the end.
Yeah. And I'll just say from my end, you know, and I don't remember the day and the time. It was over a period of time where I realized that I didn't have to feel threatened by you not agreeing with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you came to me with whatever,
mm-hmm.
you're not indicting me. You're not, you know, mm-hmm. accusing me. You're mm-hmm. not against me.
Mm-hmm.
You're for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an intelligent woman who is here to help me and to really, you know, to really give me a unique perspective that I need to see. And so when I realized that you're not threatening me, you're not trying to take over, you know, it was such a help for me to see that. And anyway,
and I would say even that there's hope for like really young marrieds who just feel like, oh, that's what we want. But every time we try, you know, it's just a big fight or whatever, that husbands and wives do grow in that as they mm-hmm. are beholding Christ, as they are growing in his word.
Mm-hmm.
I do think those things will grow over time. So I just want to say there is hope for that. If you feel like, oh, I can't ever imagine, you know, mm-hmm. not feeling threatened or not feeling like I'm accusing him or whatever.
Yeah. But I think getting your eyes on Christ and, mm-hmm. and your identity in Christ is paramount. It's central mm-hmm. to being able to flesh out that communication.
Yeah. And then as you walk forward doing it, know that like I will make mistakes. I will say things wrong, and being willing to repent and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, we spent a long time on that question. And really I asked several questions. Maybe I asked all mine. Looking at the time, we spent a lot of time. So you get to ask a question now.
Okay.
Unless you want to say something else to that.
No, you had said about parenting, but I really don't know what to say about that, except I don't think I expected to be as tired as I would be.
Did you expect sleep?
Yeah, exactly.
Have we said that already?
I hadn't thought about that. Yo, did you say that a couple times ago?
I've said that
I think
somewhere
you did.
Recently. But anyway, if you're expecting sleep as a parent, wait till after you're a parent. It comes after that, I think.
Okay. So, I actually reordered my questions. I think this is a good one to start with. So what do you think are good expectations and bad expectations? And I actually have marriage/kids/church, so you don't have to get into all that. But
what do I think are good expectations?
Right. And I like what you said at the beginning, that with expectations, you can have a good expectation, but then if you are holding on to it too much, because there are good things to expect. And there's bad things, unfair things to expect. Do you have, what would you say to that?
Yeah. Well, I like what you said in the previous question about seeing each other on the same team. Mm-hmm. And I've told couples a lot recently, you know, you need to see your husband or your wife as a brother or sister in Christ first.
Mm-hmm.
When
that's huge.
Yeah.
So
because,
huge.
Because I think that's a game changer. That's a paradigm shift for people.
That's a game changer for me.
When I stop viewing you as a wife that's supposed to give me certain things,
mm-hmm.
and I view you instead as a sister in Christ who I have a ministry to, and we're in ministry together. Now, hey, we're married, and there are privileges and wonderful things that come with marriage. And this is the best relationship, the most wonderful relationship I have with any other human being is with Christy. You know, and I hope that it continues to grow and continues to be there. So, but, when I view you or you view me as a brother or sister in Christ, man, that changes the whole ballgame. And I can see you differently now. So, what do I expect from you? this is going to sound super heady and super theological maybe, but I've really come to the place where I expect people to, be people. I expect you to need Jesus every day. Mm. And I can usually tell when your mind and heart is not set on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in those modes, you know, for the most part, I expect you to have struggles and I expect you to not be thinking well. And then I really, on the best days, there's not an expectation. Okay, what are you going to give me? Mm-hmm. The expectation is, you know, you're a person who's following and really wanting to follow and learn Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I said that a minute ago. I want you to learn Christ and put on Christ. So I think the expectation as someone who says they're a follower of Jesus is that you would be learning Christ, that you're going to need my help to do that, mm-hmm. that you're going to need reminder, that you're going to need time, that you're going to need patience, that you're mm-hmm. going to need grace, mm-hmm. And that you need love. And that every day is going to be a battle. So, again, when I'm thinking right and when my eyes are where they need to be, my expectations from you are really just that you're a believer in Christ or professing believer in Christ. And so you're going to need my help mm-hmm. to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you and I want to come alongside you. And I should expect that you are going to tell the truth. And I should expect, you know, so yeah, you know what right. I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I should expect that you're going to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And I should expect that you shouldn't be angry with the children. Mm-hmm. And I should expect that. And so when you are, you know, when you are short-tempered mm-hmm. and angry with mm-hmm. children, I then have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And again, when I'm thinking right, I have a responsibility to say to you, you know, honey, remember Christ.
Totally.
You know, remember who you are. Mm-hmm. Remember why we're here. Remember what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And yes, children are frustrating. I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not doing what you're expecting, but look what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know. And try to do that in a loving way. Try to bring that to you in a loving way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I expect you to follow Jesus. And that's what I want to really be focused on mm-hmm. instead of, and I say this with, you know, I really have grown and like, I don't expect you to have dinner at a certain time.
An example I was thinking of. Like, I mean, that's just hugely freeing to me. Like, obviously we all want to eat. I'm planning on us eating, but you know, for me not to feel like you walk in the door and, all right, where's dinner? You know, that's never been like that. And I do think it'd be okay to put that in the category of a bad expectation. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I do think sometimes in the name of roles of men and women, I think sometimes men have this just a wrong definition. They have right category, but wrong, you know.
Oh, like right.
A keeper at home, you know, someone who loves husband and mm-hmm. keeps home and loves children. And a guy may have a list of things that he thinks that should look like. Mm-hmm. And yeah, some of those things are probably on the list, like, you know, taking care of the home and things like that. But really, again, in my best moments where I'm looking at Jesus and, mm-hmm. and treasuring him instead of false idols, you know, of the heart. I am really, really pleased when I see that you are enjoying the children mm-hmm. and enjoying what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if dinner's not ready at whatever, I mean, I just don't see why that becomes a big deal in some people's minds, but you know, I'm pretty laid back when it comes to certain things like that too.
That's so, true.
Yeah. So
like forgetting to eat lunch today.
I tend to forget to eat lunch a lot. I do. And then again, the sad thing was I had my daughter with me, so I'm doing errands.
Dad, so I expected you to feed me.
What time do we leave? We left the house at like 11, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or was it later than that?
It might have been a little later, but
anyway, we ran errands and I'm driving back to the house. I'm 5 minutes away from the house and it's 5 o'clock. And I'm like, we didn't eat today, did we? Oh, I'm sorry, honey. Are you hungry? Well, kind of. So well, it's like, sorry, babe. You know? So Hope was a trooper by that.
Yeah.
She just didn't eat lunch with Dad today. So anyway.
That's funny.
You were going to say something, maybe?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay. So let me ask my next question. This goes right in line with kind of what we were saying, and we don't have very much longer. I'm trying to keep this under a certain amount of time. How do you recognize, maybe we've already talked about this, so I'm sorry. How do you recognize that an expectation has become sinful?
Ooh.
How do you recognize that as, you know, asking you personally.
Yeah, that's really good. I think, I wish I could say that I recognize it instantly, but I don't. So when I do start realizing it, I think is when I realize I'm thinking about something over and over and over, like I'm not letting it go. And like, it's starting to change even physically how I am in the house, you know, like you're more hurried or you're, you know, all of a sudden people are in your way, but it really has to do with your mind. And then realizing like, okay, I am, you know, this certain thing didn't happen, or I mm-hmm. thought this should happen mm-hmm. and it didn't happen and I can't let go of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a telltale thing, mm-hmm. telltale sign. And so then you kind of have to go back to what we've been talking about. Like, okay, you know, maybe that was a fine thing for me to expect, but it didn't happen. So what am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. You know, I would say in the majority of cases, it should be, you know, I love him. Our relationship and our peace is more important than, you know, the silly thing I'm hanging on to. Most things turn out fine. Anyways, there are times personally where even if I can recognize that mentally, I realize that I'm still having trouble letting go of it or still, you know, thinking about it in a wrong way. And so I kind of give myself just like a little, okay, you know, this is actually a problem and you're going to have to go talk to him about it, not for his sake, but for your sake. Because you don't want to have anything in between. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So like anger, frustration, impatience, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. again, words that are connected to anger.
Yeah. Another thing is like interpreting something, like assigning motive mm-hmm. to it. Yeah. So, you know, right. I'm totally pulling this out of the hat, but like he forgot to take out the trash. He doesn't care about how many times I make meals in the kitchen and have to throw away stuff. And he doesn't see that, you know, all of that. That's not, you know, when your heart and when your mind starts going there and, you know, assuming things about that person's motive or their love for you or their love for themselves, mm-hmm. you know, just from some silly expectation, something you wanted to happen, then yeah. I think that's a pretty good danger symbol.
Yeah. 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 And I get into the, you know, I try to like, I project expectations on you that you have, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's just a bad road to go down.
I know.
You know, I project what you're expecting of me.
Right.
So then, and some, most of that's because I know I should be doing something. Like, I bet she wants me to, you know, and so that just starts this. It's just this mind game that begins to go down a road where, yeah. You know, it's deadly
mm-hmm.
and you have a chance when you go down the road like that.
Right.
So you have to stop and gain control again of mm-hmm. your mind
mm-hmm.
and remember what is true.
Right.
and remember what is right,
mm-hmm.
And then have open conversation, go and talk, mm-hmm. and be open and honest. And it's the truth. I mean, whether it's expectations here in marriage, or if it's expectations that I have of Dan Jarms, mm-hmm. if it's expectations I have of somebody else in ministry leadership, if it's, mm-hmm. you know, all of those relationships have a potential mm-hmm. to go south real quick.
Right.
If I am, you know, projecting upon them mm-hmm. motive
mm-hmm.
or thinking that they're saying something because, you know, they're having an expectation of me.
Right.
That,
you that know, hasn't actually been outlined.
It hasn't been outlined, hasn't been said.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a discipline. Like, you know, unless a person has told you this is an expectation I have
mm-hmm.
of you,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't project that expectation on them.
It's so true.
And that's really, it's so, so tempting. It's so subtle.
Yeah.
It happens so quickly.
Right.
And it's a daily thing, a daily. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage, you know, I think there's probably some marriages or even other relationships. You probably need to set the reset button. Like if your wife hasn't outlined a particular expectation,
mm-hmm.
you need to not project that upon her.
Mm-hmm.
And live under that.
Mm-hmm.
And wives, if you have expectations or if you have things that you haven't articulated, you need to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then again, not letting issues or things that you're holding dearly become more important than they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering your relationship with each other and what really is important. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we've said a whole lot, and maybe it has good form. I don't know. We're not editing any of this. And it is late at night.
Well, it is all tied in together, though.
Yeah. You get one more question for me.
I get one more question.
Yeah,
okay,
it's hang time on. To wrap it up.
Okay,
so.
Okay, well, I think it seems like kind of a softball question, but I do think it's important.
Oh, I hope I hit here this well. I hate softball questions that I miss. That's embarrassing. Did I ever tell you about that all-star game one time, softball all-star game, where I got picked for the all-star team? Did I ever tell you about that?
No.
And I whiffed on my first swing in front of everybody. I was like Aww. So nervous. It was softball. They threw the softball up and it was the all-star game. Like, Aww. You know, a big game.
How old were you?
I was in college. It was in America. It was like, gotcha. I got picked for this all-star team and
That'd
I thought it was all. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to hit a home run here or whatever. And I whiffed completely.
Aww.
Spun out of my shoes. Anyway.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
So what is a loving way to respond when someone has not met your expectations?
What's a loving way?
Yeah. So we assume, right, in relationships that people are going to sin against us, or maybe it's just another expectation that we have. Someone hasn't met it.
So put a particular scenario on that. Can you do that? Trying to get my mind around.
Okay. So yeah, sure. Husband and wife having conversation with another man and woman, and man maybe shares his story or talks about his wife in a way that's she feels like is maybe demeaning or something like that. Like something he says bothers her.
Okay.
And, you know, she tries to deal with it, but, you know, she's kind of hurt. And so she goes to him, says, hey, I just really kind of was hurt by what you said. And he thinks about it and he's like, wow, she's right. Like that wasn't, you know, very nice or appropriate, whatever. Okay. I just made that up.
So what should the man do?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have
Is that right, or did I switch it around?
I don't know.
I don't know. No, I think in either case, right? So there's an expectation that hasn't been met, or someone's been hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm the man and my wife comes to me and there's an expectation that she's had, that's a good expectation. You know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, we're brother and sister in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you, Matthew 18, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's one of the big, I feel like we've talked about that before. I have so many conversations with so many people. I forget where I've said stuff. And so I feel like I repeat myself all the time. But Matthew 18, when a brother sins, bring his fault to him, mm-hmm. right? And if he repents, you've gained your brother. Mm-hmm. Well, again, if we're thinking of each other as brother, sister in Christ, mm-hmm. I really think that's what, that's a very important motivation. Like, anytime somebody wrongs us or anytime somebody fails us, we do have a tendency to make it about me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want justice. Mm-hmm. I want you to pay for what you've done. You know, I want you to I want you to grovel. I want you to, you know,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which are, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It is right to want justice, but it's wrong to try to carry it out and expect, you know, expect a certain level of retribution that mm-hmm. you're going to, mm-hmm. you know, exact from the situation. So anyway, the motivation of really wanting to see God's glory and your brother in Christ be helped. If a man is talking in a demeaning way towards his wife, I in public, you know, there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
If she lovingly comes to him, rightly motivated, you know, again, kind of that spirit that really wants to honor Christ,
mm-hmm.
and states her case. You know, this is something that you said and did, and it really hurt me, and I want you to know that I want you to see what you were saying, and I'm concerned for you, and just that this is not speech that honors Christ. This is not speech that is a good example mm-hmm. to others. And so having that spirit, my hope would be a man who wants to follow Jesus would be horrified at his own sin
mm-hmm.
and share in her hatred of his own sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm trying to put myself in that. If you came to me and said that, I hope that I would never demean you in public yeah. to somebody. But, you know, if you came to me and said that, I hope that I would respond. You know, I'm probably going to respond defensively at first. You know, like if I'm a normal person, I'm going to be like, well, no, you know, this is not what, that's not what I meant. And, but I have the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit does is he convicts. So you realize, you know, whether or not I meant that, I see what it did. And I want you to know that I was wrong. And I need to be more careful with what I say, and I want you to forgive me. Will you please forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
And then the forgiveness is given,
mm-hmm.
and it's restored, and you move on. That's really what should happen
mm-hmm.
When you take a sin to a brother.
Mm-hmm.
I think even in the context of marriage. So mm-hmm. Matthew 18, church discipline really, or the process of discipline should really be happening first in the home
mm-hmm.
often,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because that's where we see sin.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands and wives, you're the ones that
you're so close to each other. It's just,
yeah. You're the ones that see each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would say to a woman who has a husband who doesn't want to see his sin, you need to ask for help with that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to someone and ask for help. And not in a gossipy way. Go to somebody who can actually help.
Yeah, maybe one person, not
well,
a lot
go to somebody
people.
Who actually can actually help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't go to somebody who's just, you know, that you just want to share your grievances with.
Right.
Go to somebody who can actually help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just state on the record, I am ready and able and willing to help anyone who, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
who needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to help mm-hmm. people with that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, totally. Well, okay, I'm going to two-part it real quick. What if it was something that's not really a spiritual issue, but, you know, there was an expectation, it probably wasn't even okay. right, but it bothered the spouse enough to say, like, hey, I wish this had happened, it didn't, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to speak from the vantage point of a husband. When your wife comes to you and she's disappointed with something, she had an expectation, she had something she wanted done, or she had something she wanted to do, or she had something that she wanted to happen, and she's telling you that, if you're a man listening to this, you need to stop what you're doing, and I'm again pointing at myself here, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to listen to what she's saying, and you need to acknowledge and recognize that what she's wanting is something that's good and fine, and a way you can love her is by trying to meet that expectation. Yeah. Right? And acknowledge that you missed it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry is a really important thing to say. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I did not understand. I did not know that that's what you wanted. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me for not understanding. Please mm-hmm. forgive me for not seeing. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting defensive and explaining mm-hmm. all the reasons why that wasn't a fair expectation or something that was good for you. Well, that's just, most of the time, that's just a bunch of excuses, right?
Yeah.
We like to be wrapped up in our own stuff. Mm-hmm. We just do. We get focused on what we got to get accomplished. And sometimes guys can really be dismissive mm-hmm. towards their wives, and not intentionally necessarily, but yeah. they just have their focused on these things, and they don't think that anything else is more important than that. And your wife has expectations, and are some of them realistic? Yes. Are some of them unrealistic? Yes. Mm-hmm. But she needs you to love her and hear her and
at least dialogue about it.
Yeah. And truthfully, I mean, we've had that where you've had expectations maybe, and I can't think of any specific instance, but I know that's happened where you've had an expectation that isn't really, really realistic.
Yeah. And on my part, if, you know, we realize that's the conclusion, or I'm in the middle of a conversation and I'm like, yeah, this is not really that important, or this wasn't that right. I mean, it's important for me to own that.
Well, it's
or
always
to give
better,
it up. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean,
it's always better for you to come to that conclusion that's unrealistic than for me to say it's unrealistic.
Yeah. Right.
If
right.
I tell you it's unrealistic, that can seem pretty condescending.
Yeah.
And like, it's not good for me to say, you know, that's an unrealistic expectation. It's a lot better for you to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't really realistic.
And, yep. I was thinking while we were talking, just as a wife, to try to have the goal to be easy to love, to be easy to dialogue with, you know. Yeah, I don't know where that.
You know what I'm saying, though.
With the whole, that's not realistic.
I feel like I'm trying to put myself in the shoes as best I can of wives and women. I would think that if a man tells you, no, you're just unrealistic. It just feels like a little pat on the head. Yep. And like, okay, yeah, you just don't understand how real life works. And I mean, basically, that could be pretty frustrating.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm totally agreeing with that. Yeah. Basically, like, I don't have to deal with this because I just put it in this certain category that, you know.
Silly wife is unrealistic. And I'm just going to, I won't go down that road much further, but the guy needs to wake up and realize that his wife, whether he thinks it's realistic or not, she has expectations that really need to be heard by him. Mm-hmm. And he needs to honor them. And lead your wife. And if she comes to the realization it's unrealistic, that's going to be far better mm-hmm. than you telling her it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. That's not going to go well. So, all right, we've used up all of our time and I'm a few minutes over. So I apologize for that, but Chris, thanks for being with me and staying up a little bit longer and getting this done.
No problem.
I enjoy this.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's good.
That's why I was happy
to do it. Faith Bible Church, we love you. We cannot wait to be gathered together again.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. And I hope that you are too. And ultimately, looking forward to the day where we'll be gathered around the throne of Jesus. And that's never going to be ended. once we're around his throne. Mm. So looking forward to that.
That's good.
And we will talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.